government councils. I think last week I just said, let's start praying for local government councils. And then some days after, federal government sued all the state government for the autonomy of local government. Actually, we should be having better deals if these councils are working. So can we just pray and say, Father Lord, we ask that our local government councils will be revived. They will really be revived. They will do their duty. Let's pray that they will do their duties. They will spread the development across the country, that they will not just be ordinary places of postings, but that they will be effective. Father, we pray for local government councils in our country. We ask that they be rescued from inactivity and passivity. We ask that you will help the federal government and state government to let local government councils come alive in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will install right people to wake up our councils so that they can spread development all over the country. We pray, Father, for this. We ask you to do this for us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. All right. It's good to pray like that. God will help us. Let's go to John 14. We're talking about Jesus' last discussions before his death. Disciples. And it's a lovely, most holy place to consider in the Bible. Let's go to John 14, verse 1. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's go on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this kind of topic I'm taking, it doesn't have direct correlation quickly to our daily bread. It doesn't have to do with our physical measures. But, please listen to this. It will strengthen us to be strong enough to meet life and live an overcoming life. Because one of the things required today is to be an overcomer, to learn to come over things. See that word overcomer? If you look at it, overcome, overcome. Let's look at the opposite, undergo. So we should not be undergoers, we should be overcomers. And to be overcomers, let's go to 24 Proverbs, verse 10. I want us to see, yeah. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Can you give us, that's the verse. Give us a Message Bible of this verse. Message Bible. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Can you look up and read this? I mean, take a look. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Let's look at another Passion Bible. Do we have Passion Bible for this verse? If you faint when under pressure, you have need of courage. And finally, give us NIV. If you have HCSB, it will be good too. All right. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Give us HCSB. If you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. So what we are after is to build up our stamina. And nothing will build up our stamina like this teaching we are doing. So look at 14 verse 1. The very first thing said, John 14 verse 1. What did he say? Give us John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The question of troubled heart. Please, let's just stop there meanwhile for a minute. Troubled heart. We can be troubled around us, but it's dangerous when that trouble enters into us. It's all right for the sheep to be inside water, but it's dangerous when the water gets into the sheep. Am I making some sense with that? The moment water starts entering to the sheep, it's about to sink. But as long as the water is under the boat will keep on floating. So what we are after is that we should protect our heart. Jesus said, Number one, in this discussion, don't let your heart be troubled. There'll be a lot of things taking place around you. But how do, if you look at that verse, there's something there I want you to see. Let's mind all the tenses. If you look, there's something called semicolon there. Am I right? Remember grammar? When you say semicolon, means I want to go and buy something. These are the things I want to go and buy. So let not your heart be troubled. What will give you the strength to, which fan is making us like that? So guru, help me knock it off. Because you'll be entering the sand. If you find it around you, help me knock it off. All right. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So if you are going to be untroubled, we have to take our belief higher. We have to believe. Are we here? Have you found the fan? Please help me knock it off. And find something else for them. Can you get something else for them? Don't just remove the, knock the fan. The people are sitting down there, so get another fan for them there. Thank you. Sorry, I'm practicing pastoring first. So let's get another fan for them. There are some fans hanging around there, please. You can take that one over there and don't punish them now. Don't remove that one either because they are there. Just go over there. Thank you. Pastor 101. Take care of everybody. All right. Beautiful. Okay. So believe in God. I must say, Pastor, but that's entering into the live streaming. Do you know that we take care of ourselves in our church when they hear that on the air? Online. All right. So you believe in God, believe also in me. I said this last week that the best thing we can do is to believe. Let's go to John 3:16. The best thing we can do is to believe. You know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. We've not really emphasized believing as we should. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. John 11:40. If you believe, you will see. Give us on the screen. Jesus said to her, said to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Then he said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believe. Mark 9:23. Give us on the screen. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So I should be working on my believing. And Jesus said, if I'm going to get better in my believing, I must take my believing beyond just believing in God and believe in him. John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, how can Jesus, standing in the presence of God, and telling you to not only believe God sitting on the throne, but to believe him? I mean, a vice president of a country will not stand beside the president and tell people, you believe in the president, believe in me. That'd be difficult to do. A deputy principal or something, vice principal, can't tell the student in the presence of the principal. Now, follow now. That son, he has appointed heir of all things. And it is through the Son whom he also made the world. So actually, this is a word. We are not actually made by God the Father. We are made by God the Son. All things were made by the Son. And actually, God made all things by the Son to give the Son the gift of all things. Next verse. Look at it. Who bent the brightness? That's describing Jesus now. Who bent the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So if you look at Jesus, it's the brightness of God's glory. If you look up to this light now, you see their brightness. If I put it off now, you can't see it anymore. That brightness that you can perceive, if you don't have that brightness, you don't actually see the light itself. It's the brightness you see. Am I correct about that? Now, if you don't have that brightness, you can't conceive that lamp or that whatever it is. So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. So when you come into Christ, it is not a local government road. It's not the federal government. This is it's express. It's autobahn. There's no break about God in Jesus. Everything is clear. And he said, that same Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. And when by himself purged our sins, sat down, went back to sit down at his side. So Jesus said, you have to believe in me so that you can realize the brightness of God's glory. You can never see God clearly as it is. You know, somebody said, in the name of God. Doesn't make so much sense. But in the name of Jesus, makes much more sense. Because you can see God saving the world through Christ. Now, Pastor, are you lifting Jesus beyond the Father? John chapter 5. You will see something there. People think, oh, are you competing that? But look at this. I saw this a couple of years ago. It just made impression on me. Okay, verse 22. Okay, for the Father judges no one. Take a look at this verse. Okay, from verse 21 to make it clearer. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son, the same level, gives life to whom he wills. Let's keep on reading. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Next verse. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. That's God's intention. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. This is really getting exact. So, if you don't give Jesus so much regard, heaven won't give you so much regard. God has focused this moment on his Son, that you should honor him as you honor myself. So Jesus could get up with all humility and say, you believe in God, believe also in me. We can't actually comprehend God. John chapter 1, verse 18. Let's take a look. John chapter 1, verse 18. Not John 14. John chapter 1. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Can I give you a shock? Let's go. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. When I saw this, it just shocked me. Really, really shocked me. Interesting. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, talking about Old Testament. Look at next verse. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Remember that story? They went through the Red Sea, remember? And they came out. So that's it. All ate the same spiritual food, manna dropping from heaven. And next verse. This is the verse I'm going to. All drank the same spiritual drink. Take a look. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was, but it was called Jehovah in the Old Testament. He said, go to that rock, smash it, and water will flow. So the person you are seeing through all that Old Testament is not actually God the Father. No one can see God the Father. It's Jesus that was not yet in his physical state. He was the glory of God. So Jesus was the Yahweh that we are noticing that time. No man can comprehend God. No man can see God. No man can actually, how many of us can look at the sun? That's even next door. Are you hearing me? You know, but the light from the sun gives us solar energy. Am I right? So we can't comprehend God like that. It takes Jesus. And some Christians don't get this, so they just think that it just by the side is Jesus. No, the rock that followed them, that rock was Christ himself. Praise God. So Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Because if you don't believe in me, your faith will lack accuracy and precision. If you don't come to Christ and start trusting what he's saying, you will not get hold of God very well. That's why you see all of the Old Testament has all kinds of unclarity we don't see. But now Jesus came, and he came in the form of a man to show us. Let's go back to John 14. I think that's a little bit clear there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honestly, Jesus Christ is the problem. If you remove Jesus Christ, Islam, Judaism, Christianity will flow together. Now, they flow together. But Jesus is the accurate. That's why everybody's, you know, Muhammad said, the one that Jesus called the Comforter is the one. Abu Hussein said, Jesus, the Comforter, is the one. All of them are using Jesus as a reference point. One of my teachers is dead now, went to India, right inside, deep inside Indian village. He met what they call a holy man. They call him Guru or something. And he said he sat down with that holy man that they know is a holy man, and he asked the person, this man, he asked him, he said, who is the perfect man? Without thinking, the man says instantly, Jesus. You know. So, I'm not trying to glorify Jesus. The Father glorifies the Son. Let's go back to John 14. And this is the what's the word I want to call it? The crystallization of our faith. This is the perfection of our faith. You know, when we say we should pray in the name of Jesus, you wonder why we pray in the name of Jesus. Why? You know, just because you want to use it to tie up a prayer and say amen to it when we finish. No, it's more than that. You believe in God, believe also in me. Next verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, Ebenezer will be singing like this. The Baba Meloki, Opolopo, Ibubeloa. Places of dwelling. Places of dwelling. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, this is where I'm going. I go to prepare a place for you. So when he was talking with them over there, standing there in his 30s, early 30s, can you just imagine? I'm just imagining somebody, not a guru that is 75 years old, but 33 years old, and telling you, you believe in God, believe also in me. In fact, one time he was talking to the Jews. Let's see that one. Let's see the Jews. John chapter 8. Hope I'm correct. Let's find it. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 is the last sort of verses over there. Look at verse. Let's start from verse 54. Jesus answered, please take a look at this. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that is your God. Jesus hardly calls God, God. I was talking to somebody today. I said, stop talking about God. Start talking about your heavenly Father. I said, don't when you pray, don't say God. Don't say God a lot of times. Say more of heavenly Father. See, because when you say God, it's a distant deity. But when you say Father, it's a close king's folk. Are you hearing me? It's not somebody that's far away, that doesn't have interest in us. But a Father is somebody who is also our kinsfolk. Praise God. Let's look at next verse. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. Talking about God the Father. And if I say I don't know him, I shall be like a liar. I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Now, take a look. I love this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abba, 33-year-old. So they just went on rampage. Next verse. Can you reduce my sound over here a little bit? Too much. Just a little bit. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. So we know that it's a young folk. And have you seen Abraham, our founding father? Next verse. Said to them, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, he never said, I was. When he said that word, I am, you don't understand. He said, that's the word he used for Yahweh, Jehovah. So he was saying, before Abraham was, Jehovah. When he said that, look at next verse. They pick up stones, Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So what I'm trying to lay before you today is that Jesus Christ is not just a subsidiary that you go to. You know, our churches not knowing that, that's why they have all these other things like Bubu Awobi Sele, Kasise, Can Do, all those things that people do, because they never really appreciate the embodiment of Jesus as the final voice and greatness of God. That's why they become Christians. They still want to do a bulla, a bella somewhere, go something, do something, because they feel that that's not enough. But Jesus is the finality of God. Say that with me. Jesus is the finality of God. Okay, beautiful. Let's go back to John 14. As you said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I was there. I'm not trying to tell you a story. Muhammad, Buddha, all of them were born here. Their life started here, and they died here, waiting and wishing that they will meet something there. But Jesus didn't start here. He started from the beginning. Before the beginning, he was with the Father, and he came here, and he was going back there. Look at that verse again, John 14, verse 2. So, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I've got to prepare a place for you. I want to see, I've got to prepare a place for you, that you have a place in heaven. Like, how many of us, you have parents here, whether both alive or dead. But you know, that's a place, that's our house. That's where we go to. Hallelujah. That's becoming real today. We're going home. You know, I used to go home. And my children now come home. I used to go. They now come home. I'm not the home now. We used to go home. I go to prepare a place for you. So there's a preparation for you. Praise God. Somebody said, how long will that take till the last one of us come in? Keep on preparing a place for us. So Jesus is busy in heaven now, preparing places for every one of us. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? He's preparing a place for every one of us. That, and you know, going back home is one of the best things. Jesus came here. If you look at the starting of this discussion, was John 13, verse 1. This discussion was John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16. Then he prayed in John 17, rounded up. Let's look at John 13, verse 1. Where I started this discussion before we got over here. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. So, when you die, you just don't die. You depart here and go to the Father. You will go to the departure of the airplane to heaven. You enter that heaven's airplane and you go to your Father's house. I love something. When I travel, when I'm coming back, I love departure. I'm leaving this place. I'm going to where I came from. So, you're not just kind of, you know, that's why you should stop talking like unbelievers. Rest in peace, rest in peace. You're going to your Father's house. Rest somewhere, rest somewhere. Huh? That's common among people today, rest in peace, may so rest in peace, may so rest in peace. But it's all there, what? Rest, bo, peace. No, we go to the Father. So there is this word, there's the Father's house. Let's go back to John 14, verse 2. Now, verse 3. I love, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we know our final destiny. You know, we have missed the word destiny in the Bible. We taught destiny from Islamic point of view. Destiny in Islamic point of view is that owasiaye. You came to this world. You chose to die young. You chose to be rich, or you chose to be poor. You know, that's not destiny of Christianity. The destiny of Christianity is that we have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. Our ultimate end is to be with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. Some of you, you think that just this life, kasaraka, kakoli, kabima, then you die. Praise the Lord. Then they will say, Olojo Lude. I will come again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Oh, this is what we else used to sing those days, you know. Now, that we don't sing anymore. We sing, there's gonna be a new Nigeria. There's gonna be a new Nigeria. I don't need Nigeria, nothing. Nigeria of my dream. No, the father's house of my dream. Praise God, somebody. At most, we'll be here for 120 years. By that time, your teeth will have gone. Are you hearing me? You will not be able to appreciate meat anymore. So, you know, we're going somewhere. That where I am, there you may be also. We're going to be forever with the Lord. Praise God, somebody. How? Let's dig into this before we go further. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So Jesus is giving us the story as a whole now. We are starting with the big thing, not just the small things around us. So he's been spending all these 2,000 years preparing a place for us. And he said, I'm going to come back again. Don't think it's just forever like this. It won't be. I'm coming back again. Let's look at that. Chapter 4, Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go there. Verse 13. I'm coming back again. He will come back again. Let's read about his coming back again. This is just beautiful. Now, please, can you look up, everybody? I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Give us an NLT. Give us an NLT. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. You know, it can be very interesting to look at somebody who you know today, dead tomorrow, and you see them there, you see their body on the ground. Like I told you, that when I was small, I used to wonder, if I die, what will happen? They will take me to the church, put me in a coffin. People will come and tell stories about me. Then they wheel me out. And when they wheel me out, they take me to a cemetery. And all my loved ones will say bye-bye. And I will stay in that grave. Then they will lower me down the casket and lock down. And then start putting sand. And then after that, I'll just be there by myself alone. You know, the Egyptians started putting food along with people. And they mummified their dead bodies so that they would be able to keep. Then I came to see that the body is not me. That's not me. So you're going to tell us now, what's the meaning of this? Let's look at the. We did that last week. Let's go back there. We are coming back here. Let's go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 23, thereabouts. Let's go there. But if I live, let's go to verse 21. For to me, living means living for who? And dying is even better. No, it's the end. No, dying is even better. Next verse. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. So last day I go, can you imagine? That's not talking like, I don't know which day death will come. You know, that's really talking about, I don't know what will happen to me, man. You know, just one day, you never know tomorrow. We know tomorrow. Tomorrow is Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Tomorrow is Christ. Tomorrow, you know. So I really don't know which is better. Let's look at next verse. And I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. Now, that eye can't be his body, because the body will start rotting the moment breath is last. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. Oh, this man had gone there before. He said, I know a man in Christ who went to the third heaven, paradise. He had things that no man ever had before, unspeakable words. Let's read that. So you will know why he's talking like this. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Let's look around verse 1. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. Next verse. I was caught up to where? To the third heaven. So this is Bible geography now. Bible geography is that there is first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. The first heaven is the sky around us. The second heaven is the stars' place, the galaxies, where they are, all the stars, the outer space there. Then the third heaven is the spiritual house of God that created that second and first and this earth, and I sit on top of the universe as the third heaven. And he said, I went to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Next verse. And yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know what? That I was caught up to paradise. So it's called that place paradise. And heard things so outstanding that it cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. You know the meaning of that? The kind of transportation there, the kind of science, kind of technology is mind-boggling. You know, you're carrying that phone. You think you're having a phone. Is balancer. Oh, what do you call it? What do you call it? Back or something. That's not really a communication gadget. Serious one. All those who have gone to heaven, when they come back here, they are dazed usually. They just. Things no human is allowed to tell. So let's go back to Philippians 1:22. So he said, I desire to depart. Verse 23 now. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which will be far better for me. But for your sake, it's better that I continue to live. So, next verse. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive. Can you see that? Isn't that interesting? So I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. So, when a believer dies, it actually is better for him. Now, why do we cry? This is the reason why we cry. Now, interesting. We are going in a strange way today. Let's follow it through. Now, see, Paul wrote that for me to go is far better. But in chapter 2, he was sorrowful that someone is about to die. See, when a Christian dies, the sorrow is never on that Christian side. It's far better for him. But he's left us. I don't know if you remember Pastor Adeboye's son that died about 3 or 4 years ago. Remember that? Yeah. I think, what's his name now? Pastor Darry. Am I correct? I was watching a story. I mean, of course, you know, he came up. He was saying before that time that he's fulfilled that if he dies now, it's all right. I think he was saying that. I read from somewhere. So the wife came up to speak, you know, in all that when they were doing the burial service. The wife came up to speak, and she was so profound in what she said in those few minutes of grief that it stuck to me all these years. You know what she said? I love this. She said, I'm not crying because he has disappeared. He's gone to a better place. But I am crying because he has left me here. What a profound truth. You see, yeah, you should go, but you have business to attend to. Are you hearing me? I mean, you can go, but this boy is still in JS1. Who pays school fees all through? You know, I mean, who will accompany him through the journey? Yeah, you want to go, but what about your wife that She can't carry all this load in these days of economy of this kind of life. You can't afford to go now. You have to tidy things up. Are you hearing me? Are we here? So the sorrow belongs to those ones who are close to us. You see, Paul was talking, I want to grow, I want to live. But in Philippians 2, you could see the opposite. Let's go down there. All right. Philippians 2, from verse 20, something thereabout, 25 or thereabout. Let's look at it. Now, come and see. Now, it just said, it's good for me to depart and go and be with Christ. Far better. But then meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. Who is that guy? He's a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. The church in Philippi sent this whole big man of God to Paul to take care of Paul and to work with him. Now look at what happened to him. And I'm sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed because that you had, he was sick or he was ill. So they wrote about sickness too in the Bible. Next verse. And he certainly was healed. Paul was not saying, the way we say it now. He's strong. Remember the gist of my daughter? That she said, Daddy, I'm not going to school tomorrow. I said, why? He said, because I'm strong. I said, that's why I should go to school. He said, Daddy, don't you understand? I said, talk straight. You are not feeling well. So let's sleep. Okay, so you can rest. Pastor, are you not confessing negative? Let's start from Paul. But God had mercy on him. Take a look. And also on me, so that I will not have one sorrow after another. So Paul was saying that if this man died, that's with me, and sorrow is going to cascade on me. You know, if you are 95 years old, you got $25 million in your account, and then your children are all well-placed and settled, when you are going, they will cry, but they will cry with joy. If there are five of them, they get $5 million each. They won't have to cry over Malu to be bought. You know, when they go to cry, when they finish crying, we say, hey, boy, hey, hallelujah, how much did you live for you? You know, the old man, man, is gone. Finally, he got about 10 houses. Two is coming to you out of the five. Am I right? Come on now. But if you just, nothing breaks my heart. Like seeing people who died and their kids are small. The wife is just trying to find their feet. Oh, it can be heartbreaking. That person is going to be, it's better for him, but it's not better for us, for them over here. Am I making some sense? That's why Jesus, you know, that woman that was a widow, that her son died, she had no husband, and her only son died. And Jesus was going the way she was coming. They were carrying the dead body toward Jesus. Jesus was coming that way. They were going to the burial ground. And as they were going, Jesus got near the coffin, and he said, like we say, did he say this? I want to love you, but I love you the better. You know what he said? He said, young man, get up. Oh, Lord, go. After he got up, he handed her to the mother. You know why? You know why? Who will take care of her? We should also consider those who are around us and those who are networked with. Because families are in heaven too. You're going to see your families in heaven. Amen? She handed over to. You know, Jesus himself, while he was dying, in the midst of dying for our sins, he stopped. He saw his mother there, and he told his friend, please take care of her for me. Because somebody has to be there. That's one thing we don't understand yet. We don't know that it's just more than us. And people are around us. Parents are around us. In-laws are around us. We must not just live our life any way we think we should. You can't just kill yourself, man. People are connected to you. You can just stop working. Somebody has to feed on you, am I right? You can just do anything you like. You are important. Praise God. Let me tell somebody beside you. You are important. You are needed. And don't finish until you finish. So Paul said, I don't want sorrow after sorrow. Next verse. And he said, so I'm all the more anxious to send him back to you. For I know you will be glad to see him. And then I will not be so worried about you. Next verse. For welcome him with Christian love and with great joy. Now listen now. And give him the honor that people like him deserve. What kind of honor? Look at next verse. That he risked his life for the work of Christ. And he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. So each one of us should live our life in such a way that we make our loved ones live life well. Just imagine your dad never sent you to school. Will you be here today? Huh? So we need to tidy things up here. That's true. But Jesus said, I'm going and I'll come back for you. Pastor, you see that journey we have taken like that? We have to come back here now. So he's also here. Let's go to verse 2, verse 3. Okay. Receive it to myself that where I am, there you may be also. Next verse. Let's move. And where I go, let's change the stuff now. Where I go, you know. And the way you know. Just imagine you had these 12 disciples sitting down with him in this small place. For me, honestly, this discussion we are doing today is the heart of Christianity. It's the core of all our faith. I'm glad that this was written in the Bible. I love to prosper. I love to be in good health. But what's the purpose? What's the point? John 14, 15, 16 gave us the point. And Jesus said, I go. I'm not just disappearing. I'm going somewhere. And you know it. And the way you know. Look at next verse. And then Thomas. You know Thomas now? His name means twins. That means he's doubting all the time. He's double. Lord, we don't know where you are going. I mean, the guy just cried out. You have been taking care of us since. You are saying you are going. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? You know why I love this verse? You know why? You know I'm happy with this verse? Sorry, can I confess? As a pastor, sometimes I teach and teach and teach. People are here for 2 or 3 or 4 years. You ask them one question, they can't even answer it. I'm glad that Thomas was there. That Thomas didn't even know everything. He'd been around Jesus for 3.5 years. They cast out devils, raised the dead, healed the sick. And Thomas said, I don't know. Look here, I don't even get the fundamentals of this matter. Hallelujah. Like one guy, they took him for baptism. They've taught them baptism, raised from dead, Christ. When they got near the water, they want to put him inside the water. Say, what do you believe? The guy said, I believe you're trying to drown me. know, after all the classes, I go, I mean, sorry, what am I going to do inside water? So the guy said, look, I don't know anywhere. I don't know where I'm going. Imagine somebody come to church and ask Thomas, where's your master going? I don't know. But he's still an apostle and still a child of God. Can you clap your hands for Thomas? Praise God. What he didn't have in his head, he had it in his heart. And his heart was following Jesus. You know, sometimes I don't know where you are going, but I'll put my car behind you. I'll get to where you are going. I'll just join your company. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Now, this is the biggest one. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This verse has been underestimated by Christians. I know we have used it to convince people about coming to Christ, but it's deeper. This is the verse. This is our life. You know, one day I asked myself, people have come to God before. Listen, everybody, to this verse. You can come to God, but you can never come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. People go to God every day. They go to God. They call upon God, a distant deity. But it's only in Christ that God made us his family. and we are his family members. That makes all the difference in the world. The Tinubu's family and us as citizens, they are two different things. Tinubu's family, they live together. The child or the boy or the girl can walk into Aso Rock at any time without any security check. But for you and I, on our journey, we are far. So Jesus is saying that if you are going to come to the Father, you can only come through the Son. You cannot appreciate God as Father. You cannot have that familiarity with him except through me. You can see that in the Old Testament. You can see it. You see, even the high priest will have to come there with blood. You know, when I was growing up, I stayed with my Aladrua uncle and a Babalawo friend. Babalawo was my father's friend when I was in the village because the house was a family. So my father would go help him sell kerosene outside, and then he would do kerosene in the night, Babalawo in the afternoon and morning. So we hang around him. Beside that kerosene tank, there is a big tree where they worship Satan himself. Ujubo Isu. And there's a kind of trepidation that is involved in going with sacrifice. And, you know, with the night, we'll carry the thing and say, Ero Kwese. Heard that before? Ero Kwese. You know, Ero means, people can call it Eya Ro. Ke Farabale Fuwa. Isuma Semi, Omelome, Niose. Pass me by, go somewhere else. But me, see, that trepidation, that thing, you know, you go down there. Even worshiping God was difficult for people. Can you just imagine somebody was trying to dance, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the thing started, the bush started moving, and I just wanted to help God to stabilize. And boom, David said, that thing ain't coming to my house. So, David called Bola Uchi. You know, that's what he called. What's his name? That guy called. It was the worship leader. Obedi, it was the worship leader. I said, okay, Madam Bola Uchi, you know how to appease this God. Go and sing to him. So the man carried it home. And within 3 months, he was so blessed. David said, killing and blessing. What you are doing? But in Christ Jesus, God's heart is open. As a father, soldiers that are very powerful at war front, they go home and their children collapse in their hands. And they play, and they just play and enjoy themselves. Not as a soldier now, but as a father. So Jesus said, no one comes to the Father. Stop thinking like the rest of the world. It's not just God to you, it's your dad. Praise God, somebody. Say that with me. God is my dad. You know, there's somebody all of us know in this country. We almost call him the number one Christian in Nigeria, Baba Adeboye. He's always calling God Daddy. Have you noticed that? They call him Daddy Gio, but he calls God Daddy. He hardly calls God Daddy. So, the Father. But where I'm really going is these three things Jesus is. What's the first one? The way, the truth, and the life. This is the foundation of our Christian life. The way. What's the next one? The truth and the life. Now, let's look at three major things about life. Our being human. As being human, we want to experience good things. How many of you over here like to experience good things? I don't want to just hear about it. I want to experience good things. Second, I want to know things clearly the way they are. I want the truth. Are you hearing me? I want facts. I just don't want to be deceived. That's why we will beat our children for telling us lies. We'll fight our friends for not telling us the truth. Why? We want to have facts. And then, the third one is that no matter what is happening to me in life, I want to know which way to go. I want to know what to do. three things. Number one, I want experience. Number two, I want knowledge. Number three, I want what? The right approach. You see, it's the way you approach life that makes it bigger for you. Remember, first time you were in secondary school, they did teaching, mathematics, science, commercial, art. You just took the approach of heart and you are here today. All of us, there's a going about life that we need to understand. We don't like stagnancy, so we want to keep on going in life. And Jesus said, those three things for you. Number one, experience life. Number two, you want the right information, I'm the truth. And number three, you want the best approach, I'm it. So, if you are looking for how to run your finances, how to run your health, how to run your future, how to run your job, just believe that I am the way. You see, he didn't say, read 5, 10, 16 books. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. Imagine you are traveling for a burial ceremony or wedding ceremony in Lagos. And you know Lagos, with all these intricacies and kind of stuff, you can't find the way. And then you ask somebody, where is it? And he said, go 10, go that way, go that way, go that way. Before you finish, you're already lost. Suddenly, somebody said, don't worry, I am going there. All you have to do is just to turn your car. That person becomes the way to that burial ceremony. Let me make you laugh. When Brother Iba went to go and do the burial of your father-in-law, you know, I was there, and I didn't know where the burial ground was. I told my driver, see Dr. Ali's car, where it's good, just follow after. So we kept chasing you till we got to that place, and when we got in there, now, I know we have to leave you behind there, and we have to get out. And I just said, get that, just follow that car, whatever it costs, just, let's just go. Why? Because it's the way, it's the way I'm burying his father-in-law. It's the way. Are you getting there? So Jesus said, I'm the way. Everything about your life, your wife, your children, yourself, your future, crisis, opportunities, I am the way. Someone said, but it's the way to the Father. Why do we go to the Father? We want him to run our life well. Am I right? We want him to take our life over. That's, you see, everybody wants a family because it's the family that will give you the support for life. Am I right? And Jesus said, I'm the approach. You don't have to be looking for something, some philosophy somewhere, some set of teaching somewhere. I am the teaching. I'm the way. You don't have to 10 meter, 12, you know, about life. No, just follow me. Praise God. I am the way. Number two, I am the truth about whatever you are facing. You don't have to get a PhD about how to run life. You don't have to go to court to let the Supreme Court determine your life. I am the truth of the matter. The truth of your life is with me. No matter psychology say about you, or sociology, or your family upbringing, or your DNA, I am the truth about your life. Oh, I love that. That has, you know, this is getting me very emotional here. That has really, over the years, driven my life. I wanted a mentor, the best coach in the world, that will be there for me at any time that I can get hold of in the middle of the night when there's nobody there. And there's no network. And it's someone that I can just turn to that will give me the truth about what I'm facing. And I find it in Jesus. Over the years, I've had all kinds of things happen to me. But some people think I'm proud for doing that. When something happens to me, I just turn to go to Christ. I don't think of one baba somewhere, mama somewhere, something somewhere, some kind of something. So, no. Not even some kind of prayer point. I don't. I just know someone is there who is the best, is the highest, is the greatest, and is there for me. And is the truth. Do you get that? I face things. So that has given me a sense of conqueror in life. Because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am sure of one thing. He won't lie to me. He won't lie to me. People may not tell me the whole truth because they consider several things and they don't know everything. But this one, he knows who I am. He knows what I need. He knows what I need to hear and how to go further. Oh boy. Over the years, I've learned that. And you know, if I want better things in life, if I want to go higher, if I want to go deep, you know, I'm sorry to say this, forgive me. It bugs me when Christians look bereft and they don't know what to do with their lives. And they say, you know, I don't know. For instance, now, if I want something that I need to experience, I just know that Jesus is there for me. People have labeled me as being proud. I don't look for somebody to take me somewhere to do something with my life beyond. No, I just know that it's enough for me. Now, you know what I look for? And I look for what you can say about Christ, what he can do about Christ that will inspire me to see more of Christ. So everybody I meet, that's why I don't range anybody anymore, whether you are bigger, you are smaller. No, everybody can be a carrier of Christ. You know why? Because we are the body of Christ. And if you are the body of Christ, Christ can take you as his body, and can express himself through you. So a lot of time, when I'm around people, I'm at tippy toe, listening. Something they will say, something they will do, even children. Because make all the difference in my life. So it's no longer just the pulpit here I'm listening to you. You are the pulpit of Christ. Am I making some sense this morning? Sometimes if you are facing an issue in your life, you just hear somebody say something, just change everything. A Christian doctor, Christian, you know, I've seen, I can't tell you how that has changed my life so much. That every day when I wake up, Christ is around me. It's taking somebody's voice, somebody's hands to get across to me, and I must listen. So that's my job now. I must watch. Not to underrate you, but to see you as a vessel of Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? That's why I don't have this sense of, I want the pastor in Lomojo. We are the people from this place. I see everyone as a messenger of Christ, and they can bring something to my life. Am I making some sense today? So he said, I'm the way, the right approach. Anything you want to get done, I'm the approach. Come to me. Don't we see it in the Bible? Everything that concerns the apostles, he took care of it. Am I right? His approach is different. When you go to a party, sit at the back. Where did they sit? At the front first. Am I right? Jesus, it's just different. But my problem, my pain, is that many people have Christ and they never let him have his full potential in their lives. I mean, can you imagine the person that is taking you to the ceremony and you are doubting his ability? Not that you are doubting, but you are asking other people to confirm whether it's genuine or not. Huh? It's the truth. It's the life. You want more life? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's something exciting. My wife is here. I can bear testimony. The way I live my life now, I live my life like never know what Christ will do next. Never know what he will throw up again. Never know the verse, the promise, the commandment I will see today. I'm living my life at a tippy toe. I don't trust myself much because I'm just me. But I see this. My wife is here. I've seen God move in such dramatic, powerful way and sometimes in a minute, small way. I was telling someone today, you won't believe this. Sometimes I want the service to be over so I can go and meet Christ. get out of here. Go discuss more with the Lord. What else do we need to do? You know, it just seems just coming your way in different fashions. That's Jesus. He said, believe God, believe also in me. Trust me, I'm there for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's start handing up so we can do some reading today. You know, when he said that to them, just like the rest of us, we don't get it quickly. Next verse. And then, if you had known me, look at this deliberate finality. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. You know what Christ is saying over there? You don't have to search for God. When you contact me, you contact God. You know my Father. You see, there's no other God outside Christ. Am I making some sense today? So, you know what I did years ago? And I still do it now. I get fascinated with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biography of Jesus. Why? Because if I look closely there, I will see what God the Father is like. And it has influenced me. My God. It has thrown me upside down, downside up. You know, I mean, can you imagine that God is like Christ? Think about that. If you see God as Christ, it will change everything. So, did Christ ever come here and deny anyone of the privilege of blessing them? Christ never turned anybody away. Even when they sin, he will help them and tell them, don't go and sin again. Now, can you imagine this? Caught in the very act of adultery, and Jesus said, go. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Is that what God the Father will do? Jesus said exactly that. So we can say this. When we mention teachers, pastors, gurus, we can say sort of about God. But when we mention Christ, we can say exactly. See, it's tough for me because I live among Western culture, Southwest culture, that have been defined, God has been defined in a way in Western culture here, Southwest. We have a lot of ideas about God. And I have to now struggle to embrace God in Christ. Take a look at this, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Verse 17. We know the verse. Give us an NLT. Thank you. Therefore, this means, okay. Let's read the NKJV first. Therefore, if anyone is where? Is in Christ. Is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, look, this verse is interesting. Now, look at this verse. For now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through who? And has given us the what? Now, look at next verse. What's the meaning of that? That is, where was God? That God was in what? In Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. Not counting their trespasses on them. And as, let's give it, give us an NLT. Give us an NLT, this verse, quickly. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through who? And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. I'm trying to labor something tonight. What I'm laboring is this. I want to know that you are in Christ and God is in Christ. That don't try to know God outside Jesus. Don't go to your culture. Don't go to, see, in the recent time, you see all these artists going back to culture. Huh? Using all this Yoruba mythology to describe God. You don't have to. We have the perfect in Christ Jesus. Can you clap your hands for Jesus Christ and God? Come on. We don't have to go to our culture and check out that and see that and go there. And you know, now we have Oriki for God. We don't need Oriki. We have his Oriki. His name is Jesus. Let's not try to impress him outside Christ. Jesus, when he was here, I want to just start looking at Jesus. Look at the way you should be reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John regularly. So you can. God gave us 4 books about his life here on earth. So we can look at him. So we can see him. I had a man of God say something, one of the greatest men of God I ever walked this earth, or a robot. They said, what brought the change in your life and ministry? He said, when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John afresh, I saw the master like I never seen before. You know, people have today, look at our culture today. You believe in Christ Jesus, there's only one Heavenly Father. And the real Babas should be referring you to the Baba who sits on the throne. Are you hearing me? I had one guy saying, fathers cannot be wrong. I said, these guys are worshiping the local gods. Huh? God exposed the fathers in the Bible. One got drunk, Noah, right? One lied about his wife, Abraham. Right? One took somebody else's wife, David. But Jesus never did any of such things. Clap your hands for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. So, let's go to our Bible and see Christ afresh. And as we read, let's not just let people ask, is something happened in the New Testament? Everybody, is that genocide? Look, come to the Father's house. Are you hearing me? Come to the Father's house. And you know, why did somebody fall down and die in the Bible? You go back to that old things. No, we have. Who is opening his hand and bringing us back to himself? Praise God. Are we blessed today? Let's start rounding up. So, Jesus is saying, if you know the Father, verse 5 now, or is it verse 7 rather? Verse 7. If you have known me, I know my Father also. And from now on, how many of you know Christ here? How many of you know Jesus Christ? Tell yourself, therefore, I know the Father. One more time. I know the Father because I know Jesus. Hallelujah. So God will always behave in Christ. Any behavior of God that's not in Christ is not God the Father. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Did Christ kill anybody when he was here? When there was a storm, did he say, welcome storm to destroy our lives? When Christ was here, he rebuked storms, rebuked demons. That's what his Father would do. That's exactly what his Father is like. So we should not go to our house and say, Father, this is happening. Is this from you? Nonsensical. We know Jesus didn't do that. We should be fighting tooth and toenail. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have known me, see, please trust the picture of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Trust those pictures. Notice all the 4 of them. Toward the end, they slow down and describe the death of Jesus. God dying for us. How far can he go? God dying for us. You go to Islam, they said you can only enter Al-Jannah by your good works or if you die. Did you hear that? If you die as a martyr, straight Al-Jannah. In Christianity, God said, I died for you. You don't die to enter. I died for you to come in. I am the bridge. You are not the bridge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's round up. Look at next verse. So, I love this one. Philip said to him, after saying all that, show us the Father. But mark one word. Can you look up everybody? Can you look up everybody? See that word, sufficient. That's the outcry of everybody. Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. So, the Father is our sufficiency. Say that with me. The Father is my sufficiency. Anybody here, do you have real good father? If you don't have, I'm one good father. Everybody's smiling. Because we work our bones to take care of our children. Do anything. If the Father brings sufficiency, this will happen. I told my wife, we say, dear, I'm supposed to act, react, and do something. Praise God. Oh, what is sufficiency in the Father? And if you really have really, really good father, can I see? Your dad, I'm not talking about Heavenly Father now. Your dad is really, really, really nice. Can I see your answer? Your dad was really, really, it's like, I'm sure. No wonder you're so calm and cool all the time. You have this kind of sufficiency. Like recently, my children said, some people said, we should be praying all the altars in our family. I said, you got no altar in your family. I'm your dad. I follow God. No altar. That's my own struggle with my daddy, but not for you. Bible says, I've been young now, I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You know, your children, God will see to them. They may run everywhere. God will take care of them. Are you hearing me? He'll watch over them. You have a future that is as secure in him. And his father is sufficient. He says, so was the father. You see, this guy, Jesus was saying, if you have seen, you have seen the father. Philip looked at him and said, 33-year-old. We slept around you now. We saw you waking up. We saw you, falala. Are you hearing me? We saw you eating. Look at next verse. He said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, what? Has seen the Father. So what can you say? So was the Father. Let's stop there today. If you have seen me, you've seen my dad. Wow. That's the unique place of Jesus. We can't do that. I can't say that. But Jesus, as the unique son, could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So, do I want to see the Father? Go and see it in Jesus. Are you hearing me? Anything you want to see God, go see Jesus. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there was a great man of God, Alexander Dowie, in Australia. In 1890-something, there was a bubonic plague that came to Australia. People were dying everywhere. It was a Presbyterian pastor. As a pastor, he's lost so many members. I mean, as he finished like that, bury another one. So, he was so concerned. He said, Lord, are you the one behind this? Are you here to destroy all of us? He was not a Pentecostal pastor. He's a Presbyterian. He said, he picked up his Bible and he opened and it fell on Act 10:38. Take a look. Act 10:38. Describing Jesus. Act 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was against him. No, for God was with him. He said, when he read that, he just saw that God is not behind this bubonic plague. Wow. Because the real picture of God is in Jesus. And Jesus never woke up one day and gave somebody mosquito bite. Are you hearing me? You know that it was after the coming of Jesus that the medical science took that upward turn. That civilization became better. Before Jesus came, God was the killer. God was the destroyer. But when Jesus came, light came. Light came. So, what I'm saying today is that keep your eyes on Jesus. It's the real picture of God. Don't look anywhere else. Now, let me close like this. Start, Kemi, are you ready? Don't make the Holy Ghost the picture. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit. Emi, oh. Those who focus on Emi, they get it wrong. And it's all about fire, power, yeah. But the Holy Spirit's best job is to show us Jesus. Are you hearing me? He said, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. Whatever he hears, and he will glorify me. So anytime you hear, you get up in the night, you had one dream. Ah! Holy Ghost dream. And he said, Elijah, tell the thing. You are not Holy Ghost. You are unholy Ghost. Are you hearing me? In fact, Bible says you can always judge between spirits by Jesus coming. Jesus determines the spirit, not the spirit determines Jesus. Let's stop there today. Are you blessed today? This is a core part of our faith. So somebody come and tell you, tell the person, 3 days Jesus died and rose for me. Is that all right? Don't go and say, Pastor, if I pray, Pastor, when you go to the Lord, Ojometa. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself in Jesus. Thank you for the presence of Jesus in my life. Your word said, if I've seen Jesus, I've seen you. So therefore, I agree, I've seen you. And I know you as a father, as the heavenly father. Thank you that you are my father. Not just my God alone, but my father. I'm in your family. Thank you. I'm one of your daughters. I'm one of your sons. Thank you. I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Let's read some books before we leave here. Right. Can we? What to do when faith seems weak and victory is lost. Can we do that? All right. Chapter, what are we today? You're not finished chapter 3. A page to finish chapter 3. Interesting. Okay, let's get through the page and go to chapter 3.
Good evening. Praise God. Praise God. Good evening. We have a page to finish chapter 3. Sorry, this is where we stopped. Okay. It will keep your faith from working. In one of my meetings, I laid hands on a woman and prayed with her. She had been filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues about 15 minutes, just having a great time, when she had to stop and sit down on the altar. She was sitting there with her hands raised, praising God in English, when a man who had been praying with the men in another place came over that way. He heard her praying to God in English and supposed she had not received. He went up to her and said, "Sister, pull off that wedding band and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost." I quickly got hold of him and ushered him away, saying, "Brother, God already has filled her with the Holy Ghost, wedding band and all." Running the race. The Bible talks about sin. It also talks about weights. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Sin, the Bible says, is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. We will have to determine in our own hearts the things that are weights to us. What would be a weight to me might not be a weight to you. we will have to lay aside those things if we are going to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I am not talking about trying to do what everybody says that would keep you almost constantly jumping. Folks, let that bring them under condemnation, and it brings their faith from working. I am talking about what your own spirit tells you. If you are a child of God, in your own spirit, in your own heart, write down on the inside of you, you will know the minute you miss it. Sometimes people say, well, if I know my heart, don't put an if in it. You know your heart. Don't wait. Don't even wait until you come to church. Just stop right then and say, Lord, I missed it. I failed. Forgive me. And you will do it. That is judging yourself. Chapter 4. Be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life. Step 4. Be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life concerning the promises of God. Understand this. You have already taken step 2. Step 2, you remember, is be sure the promises of God, the scriptures, cover the thing you are believing for. Therefore, you should have no doubt about it. If it is in God's word, it belongs to you. If anything is trying to keep you from having it, that is the devil and not God. Satan, as we have seen, is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Many of the things we believe for and pray about, which the promises of God cover, have to come to pass in the world where Satan is God. He will do everything in the world to keep it from coming. This does not mean God doesn't hear you the first time you pray, nor that the answer is not on the way. In Daniel, we have a good illustration of this. Daniel set himself to seek God. He fasted. He was not on what we call a total fast. However, he ate no pleasant bread for 21 days. God sent an angel with the answer, but the angel was 21 days in getting through. He told Daniel, "For from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Daniel 10:12. God did not set the answer the 21st day. He set the answer the first day. What happened? The angel told Daniel, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days," in verse 13. The prince of Persia did not want the angel to get through with the answer. What Satan said to Jesus at the temptation, when he took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, was a real temptation. The devil said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it." Luke 4:6. The prince of Persia was over in the spirit world, where evil spirits were ruling that nation. Those spirits did not want the angel to get through with the answer. God had Daniel the first day. God sent the answer the first day. God sent the answer when you prayed too. It may not have materialized yet, but he sent the answer right then when you prayed. Many people, if the answer does not materialize right away, drop back into unbelief and doubt. They say, maybe it wasn't the will of God to begin with. The only child of one family, a little girl, had been afflicted all her life. Her mother, new in the charismatic move, carried the child to several ministers for prayer. For some reason, the child did not receive her healing. Then the mother said, "It's just not the will of God. I took her and had her prayed for. If it had been God's will, he would have healed her. He didn't. so it is not the will of God. No, it was the will of God to heal that child. Such thinking violates the promises of God. Healing belonged to the child. Healing belonged to the family. Healing belonged to the mother. But she let doubt and unbelief come in concerning the promises of God, and it robbed her of the blessings God intended she should have. No, if God said it, he intended we should have it. He will not provide something for us and then put it under lock and key and not let us have it. Realize that it is not God who is withholding it from you. It is the devil who is hindering you and trying to keep it from manifesting. So stand your ground. Be certain no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life concerning the promises of God. Constantly confess and confirm that God's word is true. God's word is true. It shall be even as it was told me. I like something Paul said on board that tempest-tossed ship. If they had listened to him, they would not have gotten into trouble to begin with. Because when they boarded, he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only on the laden and ship, but also of our lives." Acts 27:10. Paul just had that perception in his spirit. I have had that too many times. Sometimes I did not pay attention to it like I should have. Thank God, he will have mercy on us anyway. They lost the ship. They lost the merchandise. They would have lost their lives. But Paul said, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.' Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believed God that it shall be even as it was told me." Acts 27:22-25. Paul made three positive statements that bless me. One, I belong to God. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? It was in the midst of danger, in the midst of storm, in the midst of trial, but he did not forget that he belonged to God. He said, "The angel of God, whose I am, I belong to God. To whom do you belong?" Two, I serve God. Somebody said, "I'm trying to." No, you are trying to do it. I serve God. I believe God. Paul said, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Somebody said, "Oh, but an angel appeared to Paul." The word of God tells us that we have a more sure and steadfast word in this book, the Bible, than in the word of an angel. Paul's statements have brought me through many a hard place. I just simply stood my ground and said, "Wherefore, sirs, to the devil and anybody else who would listen, I belong to God, I serve God, and I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I was talking about even as it was told me in the book, the Bible. I believe it shall be even as it was told me. We all go through the hard places of life. The crises of life come to all of us. We are not immune to them. Satan is the god of this world. He is the one who sends the trials. It isn't God. It is the devil putting pressure on us. He wants to find out if we really believe what we claim to believe. He will try to find out right away. He wants to steal truth. I have told people, after a series of teaching services, get ready for it. As soon as the meeting is over, the devil will put on the pressure. Tests and trials are coming. He will endeavor to rob you. If he can get you wallowing in unbelief, he will rob you of the truth God was trying to get over to you. If he is successful, then he can keep you defeated the rest of your life. A doer of the word.
Okay, I think we can stop there tonight. Thank you very much. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Thank you. All right. Beautiful. I think we've learned something. That's number four. We're going to about 10 stuff, 10 things to do when your faith is weak. Let's look at, okay, that's the book. It's not so very well, faith seems weak, golden, and victory lost. Okay, all right. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give our offering in the name of the Lord Jesus, who said, give, it shall be given to you. That's the Father God speaking there, right? Said, you have seen me, I've seen the Father. So the Father is saying through Jesus, give shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, over. You know, you are not. This is not your first time of giving, so you have been giving. Can you just claim and say to yourself that I'm receiving. They are given to me. They are given to me according to the word of God. I have been given, and now I'm giving once again. And it shall be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to my bosom. I receive that word fulfilled as I sow my seed tonight. And as I honor you with my seed and my offering, in Jesus' name we pray. Let's give our offering. Let's give. Hallelujah. Thank you. And thank you for coming tonight. Hallelujah. Many of us have things to do, but we still find our way here. Appreciate it. And those of us online, a lot of times we have people online, hundreds, sometimes like that. You just listen, and both home and abroad. But thank God for being this atmosphere. Like my sister-in-law, maybe she's watching us tonight in Ghana. She with her children, they will ask me questions after we finish. In Ghana, they will listen to the word of God. But a couple of months ago, they were in church here. Remember them, and they were here live. So praise God. All right. Praise God. Can we get up on our feet? Thank you. I'd like you to say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm thankful tonight that you are my Father and I'm your child. I believe that what you said will come to pass in my life. Jesus, I believe in you, that you died for me, that you rose again, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are my way to the Father, and you are the way to solve any problem in my life. I believe you are the truth. What you say is final. What you say is ever true. I believe you are the life. I will experience more of life coming from you. Tonight, I say with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. God is my Father, and Satan is defeated in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Tell somebody beside you, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. God bless you, little God.